But appreciate everyone being here this morning. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 10, 2 Chronicles, chapter number 10. 2 Chronicles, chapter 10. We'll look at more verses than I'll read this morning, but just for brevity, we're going to, so we don't reread and reread the same verses. I want to start at verse number 3. 2 Chronicles chapter number 10, starting at verse number 3. The Bible tells us, and they sent and called him. So Jeroboam and all Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father, and his heavy yoke that he put upon us, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Come again unto me after 3 days. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, What counsel give ye me to return answer to this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou be kind to this people, and please them, and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him, and took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him, that stood before him. And he said unto them, What advice give ye that we may return answer to this people, which has spoken to me, saying, Ease somewhat the yoke that thy father did put upon us? And the young men that were brought up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou answer the people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it somewhat lighter for us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And whereas thy father put a heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God this morning. And I pray that you would speak to us and help every one of us here to realize that we hear many voices. We get advice from many different places. And God, sometimes the most difficult thing to do is to discern between what advice we should heed and what we want compared to what is best. Help us to be a people that are sensitive to your Spirit, and God, that we are willing to learn from others. Help us, God, to be wise. Help us, God, to seek your face and not just prat about desiring your own will and trying to impose that as your will in our life. Help us, God, to seek you and do what you would have us to do. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Book of 2 Chronicles, and you'll find, follow a lot of this too. If you go 1st, 2nd Chronicles, kind of retelling what you find in 1st and 2nd Kings and 1st and 2nd Samuel and so forth, it's, you'll find a lot of information repeating. You'll find this story as well in those sections of the Bible. So this morning, we come to a section that many of us probably have heard this story. And if you haven't, there's something for you to learn today. And if you have, there's something you probably need to be reminded of, and probably something here that you may learn from if you'll pay attention to what God's Word says. The Word of God is inexhaustible. We can't wear it out. I know this about people. People, by and large, are impressionable by something. People, by and large, want to be directed, or they're directable, we might say. We all like to feel like we're independent, free thinkers, individuals who make up our own mind, but the reality is every person is influenced by something, someone, or the company they keep. I believe that's why it's needful that we need to be careful. about who we have in our inner circle. Who is the voices that are speaking to us? Because most likely we're going to embrace their advice and listen to what they have to say. If you look back in 2 Chronicles 10, what's interesting here, we find in the first two verses, Rehoboam has gone up to Shechem to meet with the people from the northern part of Israel to be named king of Israel after the death of his father Solomon. Now, Solomon was the son, most know, of King David. And King David was the one who God had made a covenant with and God had made promises to. And so, and we rejoice in those promises fulfillment in Christ today that God made to David. And so let me say this. David had been successful by all means. He had his failures. Solomon had been very successful in his reign by all accounts. But after he passed away, naturally his son would be the one that would step up and take the reins of the throne that was going to pass down the father to son, just as the covenant promise was made. And so Solomon was a very wise man. And he had requested and received wisdom as a gift from God. But I want you to realize this about Solomon. He also had wise counselors around him. He had people that he gave his ear to, that he listened to. He had good men around him. The northern part of the kingdom had come to Rehoboam after the death of Solomon. Now, if you study the Bible, one thing you'll find that when David, we know that God chose him to be king when Saul was king. But after Saul died, there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. And David's house got more powerful and more powerful, and Saul's got weaker and weaker. Till finally one day, and you'll see this in the Bible in 2 Samuel 5, that those tribes from the northern kingdom come and sit down in the first three verses, 2 Samuel 5, and negotiated a covenant with David. And they said, if you'll do this, David, then we will follow you. You will be our king. They negotiated with him for this. So what we see here in 2 Chronicles chapter 10 is nothing unusual. You see, these men had come, and they were perhaps those that had been part of that northern part of Israel to negotiate. Listen, we will follow you, Rehoboam. We will follow you. But Rehoboam, understand, your father has made our life grievous. Because, you see, he was building the temple, and so he had leveraged taxes upon the people. They come to him, he said, not only that, but, you know, he made people work. He took people and put them into forced labor to build the temple and to do the construction around Jerusalem. We want this eased off a little bit. And your father had constant military campaigns, and we don't want to be fighting all the time. You know what? They really come to him. They were like a bunch of Jewish libertarians. We don't want a big government at all. They wanted government, but they did not want a big... And by the way, there was nothing wrong with that. They didn't want the government overreaching into their life. And they said, if you will ease this, we will follow you. We will serve you. Now, understand the heart of this man had... The man, his name was Jeroboam, who they appointed to speak to Rehoboam. Okay? I know two names. Rehoboam, Jeroboam. How confusing can you get? All right? But Jeroboam spoke to Rehoboam and said, if you'll do this, we will serve thee. Now, you'll find that God had promised him already by a prophet that he would receive a tenth part of the 12 tribes. This man doesn't appear at this point to be trying to leverage that, but rather he's seeking unity within the kingdom. That's what he's seeking. That's what he desires. And so we find, why was all this? These people were discontent. They had been pressed and had paid out and had served. And so the Bible tells us that Rehoboam, he sought out advice. But you know what happened? He neglected the advice that was given. He rejected what was told him. And why did he do it? To fulfill his own desires. That's what he did. And the result was tragic consequences. I want everybody to listen this morning. Here's what I'm going to preach on. The importance of good advice. The importance of good advice in your life. The Bible, number one, I want you to notice this. He neglected the advice of warning. These people come to him and tell him the what is going on, and they said, listen, if you will just lighten the yoke that's been grievous, ease it off somewhat, and grievous servitude, guess what? We will serve you. You will be our king, and we will follow you. That was what they come to. Now, let me tell you, Proverbs 11:14 tells us this. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So Rehoboam is listening to Jeroboam, who's the spokesperson for these 10 tribes, and he's telling them, listen, he's giving them advice. He said, if you do this, we'll follow you. So he gets this counsel from a man who is representing these 10 tribes. So guess what? He should have heeded, because there is safety, the Bible tells us, in a multitude of counselors. But you see, he should have listened to this voice of reason, and he should have been worrisome of the reaction that would follow if he did not listen. But it does not appear that he was really concerned about what they were saying, but rather just giving lip service. Secondly, I want you to see this. He rejected the advice of reason. Look in verses 6 through the beginning of verse number 8. The Bible tells us that then King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father. Now let me just tell you a couple things real quick. Number one, good advice tells us what we need to hear. Good advice tells us what we need to hear, but bad advice generally tells us what we want to hear. These guys didn't tell him what he wanted to hear. They told him what he needed to hear. Yes, they were very pragmatic, and they said, if you will do this, these men will love you. This is a wise path to take. If you'll do this, listen, you ease this yoke. Listen, these people will fall in line, and you'll have strength in this kingdom. They gave him a pragmatic, but it was the truth. They told him not what he necessarily wanted to hear, but they told him what was very practical, what was very pragmatic. And sometimes, I got to say, nothing wrong with following pragmatism if there's nothing biblically wrong with it. Amen? Or being pragmatic, or just following something practical. And this would have been an easy thing for him to do. But you see, here's what I want you to understand. Good advice, generally, as its motive, is love, is truth, and there's wisdom behind it. You hear that? Young people, you pay attention this morning. There's love, there's truth, and there's wisdom behind it. Bad advice generally comes from someone wanting to stroke your ego. Bad advice generally comes from someone just wants to be agreeable. You don't need people in your life that just agree with you and think that you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. Because you're not, amen? You're not selling off the shelf every time a snowstorm comes, but sliced bread does, okay? And you see, everybody is great. Listen, you don't need to be... Sometimes people give you advice because it works to their advantage. That's where it comes from. But he rejected the advice of reason. Why did he do this? Because he had contempt for their experience. He had contempt for their expertise. Pay attention to this. Now, I don't want you to miss it. His father was king for 40 years, and these men stood beside him. His father was one of the wisest men that ever lived, and they stood right beside him. They had seen what made Solomon successful when he followed God and followed the principles that God had laid out for him, and they also saw the damage that was caused when Solomon followed his own lust and followed his own ego. They had seen that. They had witnessed it. They had observed it. They had been there, and they knew what needed to be done. You know, it's the old saying, what's that? They knew a thing or two because they had seen a thing or two, right? You hear that all the time. They knew a thing or two because they'd seen. These men have been around. They had seen this. But you know what happened? He complied with the advice of folly. The Bible tells us in verse number 8, at the end, in the middle of that verse, when he forsook the counsel of the old men, he took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him. Probably comfortable with them. Probably they were probably telling him, listen, you know what? You're going to be greater than Solomon. You're going to be greater than David. Your kingdom, man, you're going to exceed them. I don't know what they were saying to him, but he listened to them, and he liked what they said, and so he went and wanted their advice. He didn't want the truth. He wanted to hear something he liked. And so the Bible tells us that they went to him and said, you know what? They said that your father made it heavy, the yoke. I tell you what, you go back and you tell him your little finger is going to be thicker than your father's waist. You go tell him your father, he whipped them with whips. You tell him you're going to whip them, chastise them with scorpions. What do you mean by that? In other words, he's going to put more taxes upon them, a greater burden than Solomon ever dreamed of. And if they disobey, and they don't follow through what the king commands, his punishment upon them will be 10 times more grievous. He's going to whip them with scorpions than the punishment that would have been exacted by his father. That he is going to be tough. And maybe he's trying to make a point that I'm going to be tough, and I'm going to be firm, and I'm going to be rigid, and I'm going to be uncompromising, and I'm going to be powerful. I don't know what it was, but I want you to see this. He complied with the advice of folly because I believe these voices complimented his ego. I believe these voices catered to his self-estimation. He thought he was something, and they were making him out to be something more powerful. Listen, he's brand new at this, amen? He hadn't proved himself. Not only that, I believe that he had an overreaching self-evaluation where he thought he was something mighty. And you know what else Don did? He complied with the advice of folly. So what he does, we're going to see that here in a second. He goes back and takes this advice, and this is the advice he listens to. Now, we'll see what happens. But there's something else that I saw as I was preparing this sermon, so I added it to it. Okay? You know something else that he did? Pay attention to this. He dejected the voice of the past. Who wrote Proverbs, the majority of Proverbs? Tell me. Solomon. Who was his daddy? Solomon. If Solomon could look back at his life, we read Ecclesiastes, all is vanity under the sun, right? You seek man's purpose, it's all vanity. It's all meaningless, and you try to do it your way from under the sun. From above the sun, the way God sees, he has a plan and a purpose for what he's doing. But when you look at it from just this worldly perspective, it's useless, right? And so we find that his dad was Solomon. Let me tell you, Solomon wrote down some things, and Solomon said some things that his son should have paid attention to. So not that he ignored the voices of the past. He dejected them. Look, Proverbs 8 and 13. I'm going to read them fast, or write them down, and or just try to keep up. Proverbs 8 and 13. Here's what Solomon said. He said, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. This young man was lifted up with pride, and when you look to see how he spoke to the people of his kingdom, he had a forward mouth. He was an arrogant young man. And Solomon said that God hated that. Let me tell you what else Solomon said. Proverbs 11:2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. Huh? You know why he was taking this position? His self-ego was... made it bigger. He made himself out to be something that he really wasn't. He made himself out to be something powerful and mighty. It said, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly, or with humbleness, is wisdom. Proverbs 13:10. Here is the voice of the past. So you should look back and said, only by pride cometh contention. But with the well-advised is wisdom. Well-advised, that means people that had experience, people that were experts, people that knew what was going on. There was wisdom in that. He should listen to it, amen? Let me go with that. Proverbs 14:13. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. He's going to whoop them with not just a whips, but with scorpions. He's going to whoop them with a rod, you might say. But the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. By the way, I'll say something about here, man. Fear of the Lord, where? Instruction of wisdom. I'll move on because I'll preach on this and I need to finish up. And it says, and before honor, it's humility. So he wanted to be honored, but he didn't have no humility. He started off with pride, right? Look, Proverbs 16, verses 18 through 19. His daddy would have told him this, that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's what his daddy would have told him. And it says, it's to be of a humble spirit and with lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. His dad would have told him, Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So he rejected the voice of the past. He ignored what his father had said. He could have looked back and read it and been advised here. He said, for 3 days, give me time. I'm going to seek wisdom. Listen, he took the advice of the people. He heard what they had to say. He talked to the old men. He listened to the young men. He talked to everybody. He consulted everyone but whom he did not consult God. You notice that? He didn't seek God's face. 2 times early in the reign of Solomon, you know what Solomon did? He sought God's face and God answered him and God blessed him. It's when he quit listening to God that he had trouble in his life. But his dad had left his wisdom behind. Listen, here, let me just pay attention to this. Pay attention. You know, Solomon is a picture of Christ in his wisdom and his glory. King David is obviously a picture of Christ in his glory. The one that sits on this throne was supposed to be a picture of the Lord Jesus, amen? Reigning over His people in truth, in love, and in power. Pay attention to this. If he had consulted with God, he probably would have heard advice like this from God. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift thee up. He probably would have heard advice like this. For all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And this is not of the Father, but of the world. He would have probably heard advice like this. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same shall be the greatest in the kingdom. Now I know I paraphrase that from the Bible, right? In the words of Jesus, in the words of Paul. But listen to me, in the words of James. Listen to me. I want you to understand, that's the type of eternal instruction he would have received if he'd have humbled himself and heard advice from God. That's what he would have heard. And let me tell you, not only what he would have probably heard, if he had consulted with God, he would have probably spoke like this because he was to be a picture of the Lord Jesus. He would probably went to the people and said, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take your yoke upon me and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. But beloved, let me tell you, he didn't do those things. Let me tell you why. Because he tragically only heard the voices he wanted to hear. That's the only voices he heard. He ignored all of it. He ignored the voices of the past. He ignored the older men. And he ignored what the people in the kingdom were saying. In the counselors, in the multitude of counselors, their safety. But he didn't go back there. He didn't seek the voice of God. He didn't do any of these things. And it was tragic for this nation. Why? Because he had the audacity to go to those men. And Jeroboam, he called Rehoboam. And Rehoboam representing those 10 tribes. He comes to him and he says, listen here, Jeroboam, here's what I'm going to do. You think my father was tough? It's nothing. He said, listen, my father's weight, my little finger be greater than his waist. You think he afflicted you all when you were disobedient? He said, I'm going to whip you with scorpions. And you know what happened? These men said, you know what? We have no part in David. We have no part. And they didn't necessarily rebel, but they walked away. And you know what they did? They took and made Jeroboam king over those 10 tribes. And Benjamin and Judah stayed with Jeroboam. And it was tragic for the nation. It was separated from that point on, amen, until the Babylonians finally come and destroyed them. Tragic because they listened to the wrong voices. I want to tell you, it's tragic not only for a nation, it's tragic for me and you to only hear voices we want to hear. I've got to get moving, I know. Who should we listen to? Young people, pay attention to this. You better pay attention, and even adults. Because sometimes we get real stupid too, even if we get older. We act childish. Listen to the voices of people that really love you. Simple, isn't it? The people that really care. Listen to those voices. Listen to the people that have some experience in their life. Listen to some people that's seen a thing or two and know a thing or two. Listen to those people. Let me say this. Who do you listen to? You listen to people who love truth and right more than they do your feelings. A lot of people are so concerned, well, my feelings got hurt. Sometimes your feelings need to be hurt. Sometimes my feelings need to get hurt. You need to listen to people who listen to the truth of God's Word, to God of their life. I'm going to give you some advice on the influence of your life as well, too. Don't surround yourself with people that just agree with you. You know who some of my best friends are? Some of my best friends in the world, and Jill tell you this, is people that will argue with me on a daily basis on stuff. We don't necessarily agree. We love each other, but we go at it with each other on certain things. We're discussing theologically. Why is that? Because I want to tell you what, I need somebody to challenge me and make me think. I don't need somebody around. I don't need a fan club. But let me tell you what the problem with a lot of people is. They act like life is Facebook, and it's all about how many likes you can get, how many approvals you can get, how many friends and followers you can get. You don't need followers. You need people in your life that love you that tell you the truth. And so let me move on with this. I will say this. Getting advice is not talking to people to seek support for your decision. You see that all the time. Isaac was making a pretty important decision in his life. And I asked him, I said, listen, I know you're going around. You're really selling it to me, your mom, and everybody around you. I said, are you selling it or are you actually seeking advice? Right? He laughed about that the other day. He knows I'm right. He's kind of grinning. And I think it's a pretty good decision. I'm going to support him in it. But the truth of the matter is this. If you ain't careful, we don't really want advice. We want somebody to come along and placate us and agree with us and tell us how wonderful we are. Because that's easy. And we will like them and we're not offensive. But listen to this. All voices, young people, are not worthy of consideration. Because everybody doesn't love you, and everybody don't have pure motives, and a lot of people don't know, they know a whole lot less than they even realize. And if they're not following God, I wouldn't listen to their voice. It's that simple. If they can't be faithful to the house of God, why take advice from them? With the future of your life, why? Makes no sense. Brother Yule Hargis told me a long time ago, and this is good advice he gave. Don't make decisions when you're emotional, when you're angry, or you're upset. Calm down. Seek truth and make decisions based on the facts. Ward Crail used to look at me all the time. I don't make decisions based on what I feel. I make my decisions on facts. I can tell you how many times he's there, and I'd hear him say that. Make your decisions on facts, young man, he'd tell me. Man, I want to say to you, that's good advice. Good advice. Make it on facts. Don't let pride cloud your judgment. So let me say a couple things in conclusion. Number one, I want to say this. If you are here and you're saved by the grace of God, pay attention to this preacher. You may be doing some things in your life. There may be some things going on in your life. And you know what you're doing? You're neglecting the voices of warning in your life. You're here this morning and you're rejecting the voices of reason. People are saying, listen, this is not good. And you're rejecting it. Why? Because you don't like their answer. And you don't like their response. You don't like what they're saying. Why? Because you're filled with pride. You're just complying with what voices? Other voices that are just as foolish are just telling you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you something. You better worry about that. Are you ignoring the voice of truth, the voice that comes from the Word of God in your life? If you are this morning, let me tell you something. Don't be as foolish as Rehoboam. You turn to God and seek His face and say, God, show me, change me, melt my heart if you need to. But God, I don't want to go down the wrong path. And I'll tell you what God will do. God will direct your path. Amen. Let me say this secondly. If you're lost this morning, you've never been saved. Are you voices of warning in your life? There's people telling you that if you die lost, you're going to hell. If you continue down this way, you're going to ruin your life. They're warning you. They're telling you. They're saying that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You hear that. You hear that warning, but you're rejecting the voices of reason in your life. They can give you 10,000, they show you example after example of what happens when someone follows sin to its ultimate climax, and they can show it to you, and they can reason with you, but you just keep rejecting it. Why is that? Because you're wanting to comply with the voices of foolishness that this world has to say. This world says you can sin and get away with it. This world says, listen, that you know what? God's a pretty good God, and I'm not too bad a sinner, and you know, He's just like an old man up in heaven, and He's not going to judge too harsh, and He knows I'm a pretty good person. That's the voice of foolishness, amen. God's a holy God. God's an eternal God. He's just as powerful today as He ever has been or ever will be. He reigns on high, and He will judge sin one day. And you say, well, Brother Grant, maybe I'll do a lot of good works. That will not do. That will not do. I want you to understand it takes the righteousness of Jesus Christ applied to your account or you'll go to hell. Do you understand that? I don't care what the voices of foolishness. Maybe you're ignoring the voice of truth. You read the Bible and God has showed you. And God has showed you over and over again. You need to be saved. Let me tell you what the voice of reason is. Isaiah 1:18. God says this, come now. Sinner. You're lost today. You see, you call me a sinner. I call you a sinner. Well, people know what sinner is. I promise you, the Holy Ghost of God gets a hold of your heart and shows you you're lost. You know you're a sinner. Amen. I won't need to convince you. The Holy Spirit convinces you a lot better than me. But God says, sinner, come now. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God wants you to come reason with Him today over your situation and your lost estate, and you can be saved. God, let me tell you something. I said, only trust the voices that you can trust. God is worthy of your trust today. He has your best interest in mind. He knows a thing or two about a thing or two. He knows what's best for our life. He knows what will happen if you reject His offer of salvation. He knows what will happen. He knows where you'll go. And He's offering you today a time right now to repent of your sins and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved. What voice are you going to listen to? God's or someone that just tells you what you want to hear. Christians, we shouldn't do that. And if you're lost, for God's sake, don't do that. Because you'll go to hell. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word of God this morning. I pray that You would speak to us. And may we heed Your voice. May we hear it. And God, may we comply with it. And God, not just going along with what the world says and what others say and advice that people have to offer that don't love us. I know that You love me, and I know that You love those here that need to be saved, because John 3:16 makes it clear that You so loved us, You sent Your Son to an old rugged cross to die for us. That if we would simply believe and be trusting in Christ, we can have everlasting life. God, there's no greater demonstration of love than when You gave up Your only Son. So we can't question it today. We know You love us, and we know when You say, come now, let us reason together, You're someone who can be trusted. So I pray, God, for those that are backslid or maybe grown cold, they would reason with You this morning. But I pray especially for those here that's never been saved, that they would reason with You and be eternally saved. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.